Thank you, Matt. I'd like to say welcome to all our visitors today and also those who are online. Happy Sabbath, everyone. I'm glad it's a sunshiny day, as you can see. I'll be talking about light. I think I would put a little damper if it was a cloudy day today, but not inside here, I'm sure. So light is all around us. It illuminates our surroundings so that we can see. I mean, that's obvious. It cuts through the dark. The properties of light are literally life-giving to our planet. Light's needed for us to see where we're going. Otherwise, we stumble and we hit our baby toe in the dark, right? Without light, we would have no food and, of course, no plants to eat and no process of photosynthesis. And light's required for all physical life as we know it. The sun is our most important source to sustain physical life, and the Son, S-O-N, Jesus Christ, is the most important source to sustain our spiritual life. I'll have several parallels throughout the message today that you can glean from the physical and from the spiritual as well. Plants require sunlight to grow, and both humans and animals need that food that's provided through the plants that produce and also produce oxygen that's required for both humans and animals to live. The sun not only produces light for Earth, but heat is also an element provided by the sun, and without it, Earth would freeze. We would have no winds, no ocean currents, and no clouds to provide the rain. Ancient civilizations such as ancient Rome, the Emperor Tiberius used sheets of mica to create greenhouses so that he could have cucumbers is what he actually liked. And he wanted to grow those year-round, but mica is a mineral, and it's quite translucent, not transparent like we know as glass today with our greenhouses. But the sun is God's amazing creation. It's light and energy in abundance. And if you ever see the sun, it's just you shouldn't look at it with your eyes without some protection on. But it's so strong and just so full of energy and light, and it's so important for us to live on this planet. You know, people have been trying to find better ways to harness the energy of the sun, and we truly have failed at that miserably. Solar is not a viable way for us to use, at least not now with what we have. The technology is very poor. And in places like Ohio, we never even get back the investment that we have. But if we could harness it someday, it's just amazing what God's given. It's definitely a gift that we should try to use. Light's needed to see colors and maintain the temperature so that where we can survive. And without light, obviously, we'd have no heat, and the heat is created from the energy of that. And the earth would freeze. We need light to dry our soil and to evaporate water for the rain. It's essential, or we would die. Jesus Christ chose to use the metaphor of life when giving the Sermon on the Mount of light. Not only does the earth need light to survive physically, but we also require that spiritual light for each and every one of us to live spiritually. When Jesus told his disciples, "You are the light of the world," he was telling them, and he's telling us today, that he's empowering us with his light and his energy. If we're the spiritual light of the world, that means that we're a life-giving presence on this planet, each and every one of us. Our job is to give hope and to shed light on a dark and dying world. And that light can give life to those who make the right choices. Do each of us have the properties of light as God's children of lights in this world? Let's take a few minutes to look at the properties of physical life and see how that compares to our spiritual life as the children of light. You can go to the next slide, please. These are some of God's amazing lights in the sky. Go to the next one, please. Go to the next. So God has just given us so many amazing things. Some of these are some of the things that the Hubble has found out through the lenses that man's created. The colors that you see here would not be visible to our eye. They're the invisible part of the spectrum that we can't see. But let's go through some of the properties of light today. Light has properties that we can learn from as God's people. and some of these are amazing, but in a vacuum, light travels at a speed of approximately 300 billion meters per second. That equates to 186,411 miles per second. So to put it, if you're not into to metrics, the speed of light is the fastest speed known to man. For comparison, we could say we could use that the sound is only 300 meters per second. And that's why during a thunderstorm, when you see the lightning and then you hear the thunder later, it's because of that difference, that speed of sound and speed of light. So the speed of light should make us in awe of just how great and awesome our God truly is. And I wonder how fast God can travel. I'm sure it's faster than the speed of light. It's probably faster than even the speed of thought. You know, light is a form of energy in its most basic form. It travels in waves, and it can be likened to waves on the ocean, except for that light does things... Except with light, the things doing the waving is electric and magnetic fields bundled together, known as electromagnetic radiation. For example, when you throw a bobber out on the water, I don't know if any of you are fishermen or fisherwomen, but if you throw that out in the water and you see the waves, the bobber goes up and down as the waves go forward. But that's kind of like how the waves of light are. When the waves are shorter, the waves are stronger. So as the bobber goes up and down faster and faster, there's more energy in that. And as the waves are longer, there's less energy in that. And it's the same with light as well. And we detect the differences in the energies through the colors that we see. For instance, violet has a shorter wavelength, and therefore it has a stronger energy. And the intermediate wavelengths, such as orange, yellow, blue, green, that would be the medium source of energy, and then the longest would be red. That would have the least energy. There's light that's also invisible to our eyes, and that light is ultraviolet, and that's what we're seeing through some of these, the way that the lenses can detect. Gamma ray, X-ray, and then long lengths are radio, microwave, and infrared. But the colors that we see are the colors that we know in the spectrum. God reveals things that we can't see, and he does the same in our lives. Some of these things we can't see, even though these things are happening behind the scene, we can't see these things with the human eye, but God does the same thing in our lives. There are things that he is doing that we don't always know, we don't always see, but he does reveal things to us so that we have the knowledge that we need as his people. Most of the universe is invisible to the naked eye, and that's why we build the telescopes that gives us the ability to see the things like this. If you go to the next slide, please. It's the Lagoon Nebula, and the next. That's a stellar nursery, and I liken that to us. So we're stars in the making, not Hollywood stars, but we're stars. We're a bright light in the making. Do you know that each and every one of you is emanating life right now? Unless we're dead, we're emanating light, okay? So we have energy in us, but we just can't see that with the naked eye. But each and every one of us are emanating light. So how much more so as Christians should we be emanating light? There's a light in us that's burning inside of us that we should be emanating even stronger than those around us, but should be seen by others. For the first scripture today, let's turn to Matthew 5. Matthew 5, verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. We're not hidden, brethren. We should be noticeable in this world. We are the lights. So my second point is light travels in a straight line. An important thing to note about light is that it does travel in a straight line through a material. We call those rays. You know, God doesn't deviate. God is straight with us. He tells us what he wants from us. He doesn't veer in different directions. He's the same today, yesterday, and always. And he tells us to take the straight and narrow trail. We're to be a light like him, not veering to the left and not veering to the right. And his path is clear and straight. Next, let's turn to Matthew 7. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter ye in all the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Brethren, you found that. God's introduced you to that straight and narrow path. Next, let's turn to Isaiah 42, chapter 16. Isaiah chapter 42, starting in verse 16. And I will bring the blind by a way they did not know, and I will lead them in paths they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, the crooked paths straight. These things I will do for them. And that's what God is doing for us. He's making our crooked paths straight. He keeps us on that straight line. He is the light, and light travels straight. And we need to be like Jesus Christ, that light, and travel straight. The next point is light can be absorbed. Absorbed light energy converts to other forms of energy, like thermal and heat energy. If you were to take a black piece of paper and a white piece of paper and put it in the sun, and then put a thermometer under each one, the black piece of paper would be a lot warmer because it absorbs that heat energy, where the white actually reflects most of the energy from that. It'll still be warm, but it does reflect a lot of that. But the black does absorb it, and we're to be absorbing. That's one of the properties we need to have as God's people of light. We need to be that absorbing energy that converts it into other forms of energy. So that doesn't mean we absorb it and just take it into ourselves, but we make it and work it into other forms of energy. You know, we're absorbing God's truth and the light to get our energy, which is that heat and the fire of the Holy Spirit. We don't absorb, we produce. We're an energy to be emanated that God expects. He expects us to be emanating that energy and not just taking it in. And we're to be hot and zealous. We're to turn up that heat. And once we take it in, we should allow it to produce those other properties of light. So let's turn to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, starting in verse 14. Revelation 3:14. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things say the Amen, the faithful and true witness in the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither hot nor cold. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich, have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire. God turns up the heat here. Since they won't turn it up, God's going to turn up the heat. The gold becomes liquid as it gets hot, and it becomes moldable. So that's what God's going to do if we don't respond, if we become a Laodicean. This could be an era in the future of God's church, but I think it's more of an attitude that any one of us can take. I don't think any of the churches, every single person had to have that attitude. I think life is a choice. God always gave his people and individuals choices, but it was prevalent among the churches at the time. So God wants to make us moldable. Let's continue on. That you may be rich and white garments, and that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. Now they see the light. God gives them the eyes to have, and they can see the light. As many of you as I love, I rebuke and chasten. You know, God always loves his people. He loved all of his churches in Revelation despite their flaws, despite their faults and their bad attitudes. But he says here, therefore be zealous. That's that energy that a light has. That's that zeal is the heat that God wants every one of us to have. And that comes from the light that's within us. And it says, and repent. I think we need to repent to be zealous as well. I think those definitely go together. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. You know, the church and the people of Laodicea allowed things to obstruct the light. They allowed their wealth to obstruct the light that God was giving them. You know, they thought that they had it all, but their light was distorted. It was a distorted light. They allowed other things to get in the way of the light. But even in his rebuke to Laodicea, Jesus encourages and offers them rewards if they change and if they overcome. Because that's the kind of God that we have. God always has and always will love his people and his churches. He never stopped loving Israel, and he'll bring them back in the end time, and they'll respond to him. Let's turn to Jeremiah 30, 22, and see what God says there. God looks forward to bringing his people back. Jeremiah 30, 22. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. Next, let's turn to Jeremiah, just a little bit over, Jeremiah 31, chapter 3. I'll read from the New Living Translation here. Long ago, the Lord said to Israel, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love. When God says everlasting, he means it. With unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself. And again, he will bring Israel back someday. So let's look at another property of light. Light can be reflected. If you shine a light on a surface, some of that light will bounce off and will be reflected by the surface. The law of reflection tells us that light will always be reflected by the surface at the same angle in which it hits that same surface. So we need to reflect the light we've been given by Jesus Christ. Light reflects at the same angle. I think we could take that and look at that a little more closely, is that we need to live our lives from the same perspective that Jesus Christ has given to us. We have to go at his angle and not ours in life. We have to reflect what Jesus Christ is showing us in his ways. We reflect his values. We don't allow the culture of the world and the values to skew his light. And that's easy to do nowadays. All you have to do is just turn on any type of electronic media, and all you see is the culture being thrown in our face. You know, this world's approach is dark, and it's self-absorbing. But we're the opposite. We're light, and we reflect that light. We want to share those gifts that God's given us. But when one reflects Jesus Christ, their example truly stands out. Our example, our reflection is important to God. We're even called ambassadors for Christ, aren't we? We're his representatives as that light. So point number five, light can be refracted. So light always travels in straight lines, but when it passes through one medium into another, it changes direction slightly. Refraction occurs often when light travels through at different speeds through different materials. When light passes through air into water, for example, it slows down. So if you ever put a straw in a glass of water, you can kind of see the straw gets wider at the point that it's in the water, and it seems to like it's cut off and starts in another direction just slightly in that. So that's the refracted part. So there's a slight distortion in that. And refraction does cause distortion. So let's not allow things to get in the way of refracting the light of Jesus Christ in our lives. When we let the desires of this life get in the way of our purpose, then our priorities begin to get distorted. We could begin to change. A change can be good, but in this instance, it's not. We may start to see things that were once clear, and they might start to get distorted. And that's what happens when we start embracing some of the refraction that this world throws at us. Our adversary wants to distort God's ways, and that's why you see so many different sects in the Christian religion today. I mean, is there really unity in the churches, so-called Christian churches? I don't see a whole lot of unity out there. I see nothing but sects and, speaking of self-absorbing ministries and things, but there's certainly no unity in that. That's why there's division and hatred among families and nations as well. It's not just churches. Satan wants us to see things from a distorted angle. He confuses, he frustrates, and makes things more complex than they ever were intended to be. You know, distorted views of family, success, love, entertainment, entitlements are all getting pretty much more and more disturbing, aren't they, in the world? God began removing the distortion when he called on us. He's given us that straight ray of light. And remember, if we remove the refraction, we can continue on that trail. Doesn't mean that we're not going to occasionally have some problems and see everything's crystal clear, but God starts to get those out of our lives, and he'll help us if we go to him. You know, life has a tendency to throw objects and distort them in the way, don't they? We have to ask God to clear the way and make straight the path so we can see the things in the good light. It's point number five. I'm sorry, point number six, I believe this is. Okay. Light can be transmitted. Sometimes light passes through matter, and it's called transmission. And I believe we all understand that light is transmitted through some matter more easily than others. So like light going through the window here rather than going through a rock, right? It doesn't transmit through a rock. But can light be transmitted through our matter? And I'm talking about our gray matter here. You know, some of us have a little thicker gray matter than others, I think. I think some of us were born that way. It could be in our DNA. But for whatever reason, you know, we all need to be more pliable and be less resistant in that way. Let's allow our Creator to be more easily transmitting his light in and through us. And that takes humility as well. Humility will allow that light in. Humility allows that light in. You know, light's transmitted through water and air very easily, and the Holy Spirit is likened to both of those. It's likened as a wind and water. And you can see that, read that in John 4 and in Acts 2. However, opaque matter does not transmit light. You can't see through opaque matter because light doesn't pass through objects like stones and steel doors, does it? Could we be stonewalling the light of God that's trying to shine through us? You know, from the beginning, God created light, and it was beautiful, and it was good. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. I know we're all pretty familiar with it, but it's really is a beautiful verse when you think about it. When you think of the light and how light is so light-giving. Genesis 1, 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the earth. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. He proclaimed it good. Light is truly amazing. I think it's something we should think about more often. We should not take it for granted. There was all darkness covering this earth at one time, and God gave that to us to give us life. And he parallels that with the spiritual. Imagine living in a world of darkness, and I know there are people who do. And we need to pray for people who are struggling with that. There's people who are blind and cannot see, and they struggle. That's got to be a very scary experience. I believe the world would be very scary if it was all dark. You know, light is a powerful force, and it's powerful enough to overtake the darkness. You know, we can be secure in the fact that the good light, Jesus Christ, overtook the darkness, and he's triumphant over the darkness when he was here the first time. He triumphed over that. Our God is most powerful, and you don't have to turn here. John 1:5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. It's because Jesus Christ overcame the darkness. He won, and he overcame this world for us. Next, let's turn to John chapter 16, verse 33. John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Jesus Christ has overcome the world. He's overcome these things. And he's talking to his disciples here. You know, darkness cannot and did not overcome the light. Light reveals things to us. And without light, we'd basically be without one of our senses. Because light is revealing, it shows us the wonderful things that God has made. If you turn to the next slide, please. I just want you to kind of enjoy some of these. These are all courtesy of NASA. So this is the demise of a star. We don't want that to be us. That's not us. Let that be of the physical stars and not of God's children. Go to the next one, please. So imagine the light and the energy of 2 quadrillion stars. This is just one of the areas of space that God created. I mean, I can't even imagine how much energy is in our sun, let alone 2 quadrillion stars that are out there. It's amazing. Next slide, please. I think this is it's a bubble nebula. Okay, you can go to the next slide, please. That's a spiral galaxy. God lights up the sky for us to enjoy. He knew we would discover these someday. You can stop at this one, please. Okay. But without the light, we would not have one of our senses. I mean, or else it would be a moot point. If we couldn't see, because everything was dark, then we would not be able to see anything because of the light, even if we had eyes, right? Excuse me. Without light, we'd be stumbling around. Jesus has revealed to us things we would never have known unless it was illuminated by him. He would be ignorant of the knowledge of his truth and unable to see and understand what he's given us as his people that lights our pathway in this life and opens our minds to his truth. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. It's all for the glory of God. The light in us belongs to him. And we're to be learning to respond, and we should be growing in the Holy Spirit and the light that shines in and through us, and we must become brighter and brighter and begin to grow and mature in our faith. John chapter 8, verse 12. John 8:12. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So Jesus is talking about eternal life and an eternal light. His light contains the essence of eternal life, and following God and obeying him will light the way in your life as well. And God's very word is a source of that light. His word is power and energy, and by his word, light was created, by his very word. In Psalm 119, you don't have to turn here, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You know, King David knew God's word contains light and would guide him through life. It gives us the ability to see the direction and to verify that right path. We don't ever need to worry about the way to go unless we're making really bad choices. You know, our life has a plan and a path that'll be illuminated if we're obeying God. But that's our part. We have to do that obedience part. That's the tough part. You know, His Word, the Holy Bible, contains most of the valuable information that we need to live in this life. And there's just tons of self-help books out there that are written. There's philosophy, there's psychobabble books, but they don't contain the awesome wisdom that God's Bible does. You know, it's relevant and it's never outdated. Those books come and go. The Bible doesn't. It's permanent. It's here. You know, some of the elite and the progressives and the so-called intellects today, they would say the Bible is outdated. Well, they seem to spout off about everything that they know nothing about. Look at the way they live their lives and look at the world today. I think we could see the results. I think results show us exactly. The problem is, if we're not using this book, if we don't use the Bible, it's not going to help us. We're not going to have that wisdom. We need to be reading the book. This is so important, brethren. We have to be using God's Word. If we're not picking up and reading it and applying it, what good is it to us? You know, there may be times in our lives where we do feel uncertain. I think that's just human for each and every one of us. I think we all have those times of uncertainty on our path and our walk. Not all decisions in life are easy, or they're not able to be made at the spur of a moment. I know Lisa and I were out trying to pick out carpet, and we were like, I like that one. Okay, let's go. And we were done. It's just, but those are the easy things in life, aren't they? I mean, those are the easy things. But not all decisions are that way. There are decisions that are tough and that may affect the rest of our lives and also our families as well and all the people around us. But we can be confident that God will give us that light and that guide when we need it. We just need to be doing our part. He also tells us to seek wise counsel. So we need to be seeking wise counsel, but I think we first need to go to God. God always comes first. And then go seek wise counsel from others. There are professionals out there that He expects us to go to and use the resources. Just don't fly through life by the seat of your pants. It doesn't work. I'm going to tell you, decisions like that will not work. You need advice in life. We all do. But God does hear our prayers, and we need to seek Him, and He'll provide that wisdom to make those choices. In Proverbs 15:22, plans go wrong for lack of advice. Many advisors bring success. I think by that he means advisors. They were talking about what we would call professional advisors, say people who are experienced to help you, no matter what the circumstances. But we need to be honest about our situation. Sometimes we have a tendency not to be honest with ourselves, don't we? We need to let God show us and not allow our own underlying feelings and that sense of entitlement or some deeper desire to make that decision instead of really listening to God. I think sometimes we do that, like, I really want this thing, I really want that, and we're ready to jump. We make bad decisions in our lives. We can't do that. That's going to cause some real problems, and we might get burned in the end. Really listen to what God is saying, and don't let those things get in the way. When we make bad decisions, is it God's fault? Or could it be that we chose our own desires and not really God's guidance? You know, we make our own choices. Time and chance could have been a part of it for sure. I was taking a look at my 401k and it turned into a 201k this week. But I'm applying God's principles. He wants us to save. He wants us to save for retirement and things, and that's wise to do. But it's time and chance. And let God work it out in the end. I mean, it's not all about money anyways. I mean, God will work it out. But it is wise to do those things. We do need to plan. We also need to do our part and make sure that God is first. Seek first the kingdom of God. In Ephesians 5:8, it says, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." We need to walk in the light. We need to apply those principles that he's showing us. And if we're reading the book, we will see those principles. Unfortunately, at one time, we were all children in the dark, every one of us here. Not only were we in the dark, but the darkness lived in us. You know, the creator of light is in the process of moving us into the light. And what I want to say here is that it is a process. All right, we're not going to be these bursting, exploding stars out of the gate. And sometimes if we are, and I've heard Mr. Thomas say it before, it's like that Roman candle. It explodes and it's beautiful for a moment and it fizzles. We can't be that. We can't allow that fizzle. We have to remain that light star. That strong star. We're in that nursery. We're in that nursery of stars. If you go to the next slide, please. You can save this one here, please. The beauty of God's handiwork and the lights that he's created for us to enjoy. He knew that we would be able to see this someday. That's why he stopped Babylon so quickly, because we probably would have got there maybe a couple thousand years quicker with Hubble. but what a beautiful thing that is for us to see and just to draw closer to God too, because we know his greatness through his creation. It's just mind-blowing what he's done and the energy that's there and the power and the light and the beauty and what it holds for the future. What are we going to be doing with this in the future? Those are questions we need to ask ourselves. But unfortunately, got off the point here. We were children in the darkness at one time. The creator of light is in the process of changing us. Our calling opens our eyes to that light, but not all at once. It's just step by step. We're in that nursery of stars, growing and expanding, and that's what that nursery does. It expands and it grows. Some of us are expanding at a greater speed than others, but now we've been blessed to be able to discern the light from the dark, and that's a good thing. God's opened our eyes. We've chosen to live in the daylight and to walk out of the night. Let's fan those flames so that the light burns on brightly. Our works are in plain sight for everyone to see. We are noticeable in this dark world. Lights are a source of revealing, but they're also cleansing. You know, science has discovered, but God already knew, that there are invisible rays of light that can be used for cleaning and sanitizing. And I know I saw that, I didn't realize it, but during COVID, they were using lights to clean all the motel rooms. It can clean almost any surface that we have. Doorknobs, keyboards, computers, toothbrushes, but those lights kill the microbes. And what it does, it stops the growth and it kills the organisms by damaging the DNA and not allowing them to reproduce. So I found that was quite interesting. As those of us called the children of light, our examples can be damaging to sin. That's a good thing. That's a good place to wreak some damage, because the light exposes. It exposes the sins. By not condoning and participating in the world, that makes a huge impact. Our examples are being noticed. And don't think they aren't, because they are. I know people, and I've heard stories from many of you, and I have the same way, but people at work, I know my wife, for instance, she works with a lot of people who use a lot of foul language, but when she's in a meeting, they won't use it. And if they slip, they'll say, there'll be a dozen or two dozen people in the meeting, they'll go, "Oh, I'm sorry, Lisa. Lisa." They didn't say it to the other people, but they say, "Lisa." So our lights do make a difference. People do notice. It is revealing. You know, the impact is profound to God's plan. It'll even be more apparent in the future when people come to us for help and we're teaching them in God's kingdom. We'll be able to help and we'll cleanse this world. We'll be those UV ray lights that cleanse this world. But when light diminishes, there's also an impact too. Look at the flood. It was down to one righteous man, Noah. God had to wipe out the whole world because it was so dark and evil. Thankfully, there was Noah. But that, too, is a profound lesson. We learn lessons in the seasons that we have. Look at the winter months as the days get shorter. I know many of you, and I do too, I suffer from light deprivation by the end of winter. I start to feel down. I feel sluggish. I don't know if I suffer depression, but maybe in a slight sense. But you know, God's seasons do teach us many things. That light deprivation, we need the light. We need it to live. My point here, brethren, is we can't survive in a perpetual winter season. None of us should be living in a winter season for long. You know, we have sometimes cycles in our Christian walk, but when we're on that downside, we need to make sure that we get back up to that point that we need to be and beyond. We have to be active lights, and we can't be burned out bulbs. You know, this is a season of energy. Our impact is now, and it's going to continue into God's kingdom. And we should be helping people now and continue on into his kingdom. You know, people have come out, they'll be coming out of the darkest time ever known to man, the Great Tribulation. You know, we need to understand that dark days are coming. And the dark always comes before the dawn. But that dawn is coming. And that's what we look to, is that dawn, when that bright light will be rising and God's kingdom will come forth, and the life-giving light that'll spread across the entire planet. You know, humankind will no longer have to stumble around in the dark at that time. The light of our Savior and ours will cleanse. It'll cleanse the earth, and it'll cleanse the people as well. Let's turn to 1 John 1, chapter 1, verse 7. 1 John chapter 1, 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. The light, Jesus Christ, through his blood, has cleansed us from our sins. You know, walking in the light gives us the family of fellowship. You know, this is about a bond with one another that's formed through obeying God. We have a special bond here because we're different. Everyone here is trying to obey God. That's our goal. I know we all slip sometimes, but our goal is to obey God, to please God, and to serve him. You know, we're experiencing the fellowship in the light with each other. If we're not desiring the fellowship with our brethren, I think we need to stop and pause and ask, how much am I still walking in the dark? If we don't have that desire to bond with each other and to be here, I think we need to ask that question. You know, fellowship and the bond of God's Spirit go hand in hand and can't be separated, because light is more light only brings brighter light. Light with more light only brings brighter light. But light with darkness will expose things. Are we afraid that things might get exposed? Maybe that's what we're afraid of. Are there things that are dark in our lives? You know, the night and darkness hides things. And this world lives and loves darkness. It's of the hidden and secret things, things that probably shouldn't be revealed. They're in the realm of darkness. It's a kingdom of its own, and it's perverse. It has agendas that are really coming to light today. It's a kingdom that's crumbling down under its own weight of sin. Be assured it'll be replaced by the kingdom of light. It will come falling down. You know, people are preferring the light preferring the dark over the light in this world today. And it's easy to sin and follow your feelings. That's the easy route. Follow your feelings, follow sin, no self-control. But to have self-control and to obey, people don't like that word. It's a very unpopular word in our world today. And to show constraint reaps the rewards in the long run. But do they know there's words like joy and peace and happiness and love So if you don't like the words obey, maybe you're not going to experience those things. But that's all a choice. People want instant gratification. I want it now. Well, they might get it now. Let's turn to John 3:19. John 3:19, verses 19 through 21. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. And that's the way each and every one of us should be. We should be embracing that light and showing that our works are being carried out in God. You know, the world is embracing darkness for now. They're under delusion that their sins are hidden in the dark, and that's a delusion, because the light will eventually shine on many of the deeds of humanity's good and bad. Someday, all things will be known, and the shameful things and the sins will be known, but so will all the good deeds from God's saints. And I think they know it now. I think, again, I think people do see a difference. And for those who see their sins revealed by the light and change, they'll be rewarded and become children in the light as well someday. Their good works will be rewarded and accredited to God. They too will become children of light. And we look forward to that. We look forward to them becoming the children of light as well. But once the light, Jesus Christ, shines down and illuminates the cause of their pain, their sickness, their poverty, and their hurt, most all humanity will embrace the daylight. So I have a question today. What are we composed of? What kind of light are we emanating? Are we a floodlight or a flicker bulb? I don't know if you remember those flicker bulbs of the 70s. Maybe a black light. Are we using the light that Jesus Christ gave us to flood this world with life-giving rays? If we can move mountains, why shouldn't we be a light so bright on this planet like the sun is? Why are we limiting ourselves? In 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. It doesn't just say light, it says marvelous light. I mean, God wants us to emphasize this. This is a marvelous light that he's given us. It's an excellent gift. Next, let's turn to Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. Do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. You know, it isn't easy to be a light in a twisted generation today, is it? It certainly isn't. It's an in-your-face generation. You know, we're being watched every day. We're seen by people at work, our neighbors, our family. I mean, we're seen everywhere. We're in the light everywhere. We're on cameras almost every place you go, every intersection, every store, every corner. I'm in IT security. I can tell you there are cameras almost everywhere. We're being watched. So whatever we do is even being recorded everywhere. You know, we're in a time where we need to be shining as lights more than ever and not blend into this culture of darkness or get caught on a camera and stay on some hard drive somewhere for forever, just like social media. Isaiah 61, it says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." Let's arise, let's shine. You know, our next annual holy day, and God's plan will be the Feast of Trumpets. That's our Independence Day. It's a day when Jesus Christ will put down the nations of this earth and a new and better nation will rise. We'll be new citizens born into a truly free homeland, changed from mortal to immortal beings, and all the peoples of all the nations will be free from the slavery of sin. The light will shine in the cause of sin and death in this world. This will be a special place that will no longer need the sun, because the light and energy of the most powerful and awesome God who created all the countless suns throughout all the universes with all their power will shine so bright that it won't even be needed. Can we turn to the next slide, please? Stay on that one, please. So the last scripture here, and you don't need to turn there. You can just leave that up. Revelation 21, 23. And the city, speaking of the New Jerusalem where Jesus will arise, has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. Our awesome Savior is the only light that we'll need. When Christ sets up his kingdom, that'll be the ultimate Independence Day. But we too are a part of that enlightening project now, today, and going forward in his kingdom as the children of light. Let your light shine. Be safe and have a wonderful 4th of July.